Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 165 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program 267, 267 programs, and we have some letters, and I'm going to be, we have a beautiful message that we received from Chicago several years ago as we were going through a rest home. We like to go to rest homes and take presents to some of those senior citizens in there because a lot of times their families don't even visit them or no one else, and they love to get little presents and they love to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them know that they're senior citizens, of course, and that they maybe don't have that much longer to be here in this world. And they're looking forward, once they are saved, to go to heaven, because unless you're born again of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, the human body is not the most comfortable thing to be living in. A lot of people have aches and pains, but of course the Lord has taken those aches and pains and sicknesses and diseases and infirmities to the cross with him. He became a curse. We're the cursed ones, but Jesus came into the world to take all the curses off of us. And those curses are going to the pit of hell and the lake of fire for eternity. And then he took all of our sickness, diseases, infirmities, all these things upon him. First, when he took the beating before he died on the cross, and then he went on the cross and became a curse for us, so that all the curses of sickness, diseases, infirmities, and going to hell and the lake of fire went upon him. And so he died on the cross for our sins and sicknesses, and diseases, all the curses, and went to hell. He went through that curse also for us. And then he rose out of hell and ascended into the, he rose from the grave. And then after that, he ascended into the kingdom of heaven before hundreds of people. And therefore, he now is able to send the Holy Spirit into us to cause us to be able to keep the law. Now, the Bible tells us to, he has commissioned us once we are saved, to preach the gospel the way it's written. There's no private interpretation of the Bible. But then we have, in these last days, for the past 2,000 years, we have what they call canon law, and Roman canon law. And whether people realize it or not, if you got a copy of Roman canon law from a Catholic bookstore, you'd be able to see that all, nowadays, everything in the United States, all the laws are governed by Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire is where the Lord stated that Satan, that great red dragon, that's where his seat is, and that he has the head of the world government, and the world government is Antichrist. You'll notice how they took the Bibles out of school and how they're taking the Word of God. They even want to take the Word of God off of money, and they're heading for it real fast. They're making them take the signs, anything that says God or Jesus on it, out of schools, out of the federal buildings, the state buildings, and they are using the ACLU. I can't believe that the ACLU sent me a letter the other day as an invitation to join them. Oh, man, that's a Catholic front group. It's a branch of the Vatican. Now, all these Antichrist organizations are branches of the Vatican. Now, if you break a branch off, or many times through the messages that the Lord has given me, have broken many of the branches. And even in several of the Catholic newspapers, they stated that I've split that cult right down the middle. Now, I say cult. Now, you may say, well, Roman canon law is good, but the Bible tells us to preach the gospel, the Bible, not Roman canon law. Roman canon law takes away all the laws of God and replaces it with their man-made laws. They say we're all human, and so we have to be human, we have to have human laws, we have to have secular laws, but the Bible says that we must become spiritual in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. So what it is the Roman, where Satan's seat is the city of the seven hills, that Roman canon law says that we must, and this is coming right out of the seat of Satan, that we must obey Roman canon secular law. And they say, well, you know, it was all, we have this new law is replacing the Torah. In other words, the five books of Moses where the law is. And so you have to make a choice as a citizen, one of the citizens of one of the any of the countries in the world, to where you want to follow a man-made Roman canon law, or you want to be able to follow the law of God. At least Roman canon law says no one can do that, and the Bible says no one can do that also unless we have the Spirit of God living in us. And so that happens because Jesus became the life-giving Spirit when he ascended into heaven. And when he says, now when you pray unto him, he can send that same resurrection Spirit into your spirit, and you resurrect from the dead, and you become a new creature. You're not carnal anymore, but you're spiritual. And so we're not to obey Roman canon law. We have to obey the laws of God. The Torah has never been taken away. Jesus said that I didn't come to break the law of God. I came to show that it could be fulfilled in a human body. He says, I came to the world in a human body, and the Spirit of God is in me, and I'll show you that by the Spirit of God, we are more than conquerors. We can do all things with the Spirit of Christ in us. Amen?
Amen.
And so, therefore, you have to take a choice of whether you want to preach Roman canon law, and that book is about as thick or thicker than a New York phone book. And it's just full of the greatest heresy that I've ever heard in my life. They even say that Peter is the head of the church. Well, that's kind of amazing because they don't believe in their priests or their popes being married. And Jesus went in and healed Peter's mother-in-law. So he was the only recorded married man. And it's amazing that they should pick him to be the head of their cult. And then in another passage, the Lord called Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because Jesus said he was going to have to die and then he'd resurrect from the dead. And Peter said, that shall not happen to thee. Well, if it wouldn't have happened, then there would be no chance for Jesus to have been the sacrifice for our sins to where he shed the blood. Only the blood of Jesus can take away our sins. And then he died for us, which he had to do, in order to become our curse, so that all our sickness, disease, infirmities, and every curse, whether we're financially busted, we're broke, and when we are not able to shake all these sicknesses, diseases, infirmities. And then the Bible says that if when we're born again of the Spirit, God proves it for us. He says, these signs shall follow those that believe. And so if we believe, we're able to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and to cause blind eyes to see, and to make the lame walk again. And these are all signs that if you are born again Christian. And then we also have gifts that the Lord said that we should have, is that we speak in other tongues. And that there's others that can interpret the tongues, different languages that we don't know, yet the Spirit talks these languages through us. This is not in Roman canon law. All Roman canon law is to tear away the Scriptures. The Scriptures also states that a person that preaches any other gospel, any other doctrine, such as Roman canon law, or any other kind of law, any other doctrine than the Bible, that let him be accursed. They are accursed if you preach any other gospel, any other doctrine. The Bible says, preach the word. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the word of God, and that God is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was and still is God. And that the Word of God came into this world in the flesh of a man. He became a man to dwell around among us. So, and in the beginning God said, let us make man in God's image. Us means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the only one of the Godhead that has an image is Christ. And when I saw Christ sitting on the throne in the kingdom of heaven, he looked just like a man, because he is a man. Christ is both man and God. And that human body of his was transformed and translated into a body that is eternal, one that doesn't have flesh and blood, because the Bible plainly states that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We must become spiritual. And so it states that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh or carnal, like Roman canon law is. But if you're walking in Roman canon law, that you are carnal, and if you don't become spiritual, there's no way that you can enter the kingdom of God. So don't use Roman canon law. I mean, keep the law, abide in the laws of the land, but don't think that because of the fact that Roman canon law says that we're carnal and we can't be perfect and we have to be carnal, when the Bible says if we become spiritual by allowing Christ with his Father by the Spirit to enter us, that we become more than conquerors over our flesh, because the Spirit of God mortifies or kills the desires of the flesh. And the Bible says, love not the world, but Roman canon law is all for carnality. It's for the world and for you to be successful in this world. What profit is there to preach another gospel, which this is no gospel at all? It is the doctrine of Satan. And because it comes right out of his throne in Rome. And if you preach that and receive that into your heart, it's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that sin. Well, we have some testimonials today, and we have something more for you. Something for your spiritual growth, not for your carnal growth, and for your because you're carnal as can be right now. There's no telling what a human being can do. There's people that are saying they don't believe in the scriptures, they don't have the Spirit of God in them, and they're saying that God is talking to them and telling them to drown their little babies in bathtubs. They're slinging their sons out the windows and saying God told them to do that. That isn't God. God never tells you to do anything like that. And that's why it's so important for you to learn the Word of God, so that you can know the things that the Lord says you can do and can't do. Roman canon law just tells you, well, you know, you're weak and you can do anything you want. But if you believe that, you're going to hell and then the lake of fire, okay? That's just exactly what the Bible says. There's no condemnation, though, to those that walk not after the flesh, not after Roman canon law or any other kind of law. There's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's all kinds of laws. There's this law of sin and death, and then there's the Ten Commandments, and there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's what you must follow if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible, Jesus said we must take up the cross and follow him. How can you follow him unless you have the Spirit of God in you? Because the flesh is too weak to do anything that is spiritual. You can't even keep your New Year's resolutions without the Spirit of God in you. You have to purpose to follow after the Word of God. Well, anyway, we're going to have some music, and we're going to have some great testimonies of what the Spirit of God, the Word of God, has done in this world. The Lord says, the things I say, in other words, the Word of God is spirit and it is life. And anyone that believes any other doctrine than what is that the apostles, Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets spoke are accursed. If you're accursed, if you're sick, you have diseases, infirmities, if you're broke, if there's all kinds of people that you owe money coming after you, if there's hits on your life, if you're on drugs, you can't get off of them, if you're into porn or some kind of filthiness, you're a prostitute or you want to be a prostitute, all these things will leave you when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Now, I brought a message the other day that stated that these demon, when it's cast out of you, walks in dry places, and there's a separation between the dry land and the water, the ocean. Well, even those demons don't like it out in the world. You know, the Lord says, love not the world, because the demon was once in heaven. That's one of the angels that was cast out, and he knows what heaven is like, and he hates the world. That's why he's just going crazy, because he knows even what hell and the lake of fire is going to be. And he's angry. He's full of wrath because he knows that the hour of him burning in the lake of fire is going to be. And he knows that it's never going to end. Okay? And so let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Because I pray, Father God, that it'll enter their heart. The words that you give me, anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit is living in me, Father. But anoint me outwardly and inwardly, and let every word that proceeds from my mouth be right from the throne of God. Let it be that which tears down and then builds up, tears down the things of this world, because the world is going to burn. It's cursed. And I didn't come, you didn't send me in this world to curse the earth. The earth is already cursed. You called me into the world, and you came into the world, Lord, to win souls from out of this world so that the world, by receiving you, could be saved and spared from your wrath that's going to be coming down on this earth soon. The Bible says that you're going to appear your sign in the eastern skies, and every eye is going to behold you coming back to earth. And those that repented not, that wouldn't receive you, are going to run and pray that the rocks and mountains will fall on them to hide them from your wrath, Jesus, from the Lamb of God. You are the Lamb of God. And Lord, we ask that you prepare the hearts of those that are listening out in the listening audience, that you prepare their hearts to receive the things that we're going to teach them now through your voice, through me, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they might be saved in the church, those that are saved, those that have been redeemed, shall be strengthened. We're supposed to not conform to the world, but we are to conform to the image and the likeness of you, Jesus. Father, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now I've got a song here. It's Right on King Jesus by Fag Springman.
Man can hinder me. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. I was but young when I begun. No man can hinder me. Rides a milk white horse. Oh, my.
to your friends and family and even your enemies to be saved so you don't have any more trouble with them. You know, get power into your life and lead people to these radio broadcasts and to my literature. All my literature is free of charge, including Bibles. If you want Messiah books, we can get them to you if you'd like to be a soul winner. And that's the reason that the Lord saves people, is so that they'll become soul winners. And we can give you the tools to win souls, which is my tapes or CDs. Or we can send you all the literature that I've written, including the Messiah books, which are excellent to win Muslims to the Lord and Jewish people. Because it shows the 333 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ first coming to this earth in the Old Testament. And it's really a tremendous book that you need. And we need for you to send donations in here so that we can get my tracts, my literature, into all the newspapers in the world. We've been in dozens of newspapers, and we intend to be in more. We're in the Phoenix paper this week. We're in all over the place. We've been in the Chicago Tribune, the New York Daily News, and I could go and just keep going on, but we have other things to say in this program. And we can tell you, send you tear sheets and from the different newspapers that we're in. It's costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's really a good thing, because people don't expect there to be a gospel piece of literature in the newspaper, and they're reading through it. They won't turn on a TV, a gospel, or a church TV program, because they see a lot of phoniness in some of them. But they will catch them unaware. And once they start reading the literature, it was given by the Holy Spirit, and they become saved. And we have like hundreds of letters and emails come in by the hundreds or even thousands every day. And you'll be just surprised if you read these things and listen to these tapes and tune on the radio station. We'll send you a flyer of where they're at and what stations we're on. Okay, Lydia, where's the first response from?
From the San Diego.
From the San Diego what?
Union Tribune.
Union Tribune newspaper. We've been running full page and page and a half ads of my literature in there. And what did they say?
Well, there are calls that came in from San Diego, California, one right after the other, after the Sunday edition of the San Diego Union Tribune came out with Pastor Lamo's literature entitled Dry Bones. The first call was from a woman who said she read every single word that was written, and she said the prayer of repentance twice, and she got saved. She said that the literature is helping her so much, and she wants all the available information regarding Pastor Lamo and your preachings. She said these will also be excellent for her niece, who is schizophrenic.
Praise the Lord.
And then a police officer who Buster grew up with in Edmond, Oklahoma, who now lives in Norman, Oklahoma, received salvation after reading the Dry Bones literature in the Oklahoma newspaper. He said he knew immediately after reading it that God had touched him and he saw the light.
Okay, anything else?
Also, his aunt from Tuttle, Oklahoma, rededicated her life to God after 51 years of attending the Tuttle Baptist Church when reading the difficult Mountain literature in the Oklahoman. She said she also read the Messiah book many times over, and these are examples of over 200 calls that he received from the touch of God of people through the newsletters in the newspapers. He said he received calls from many cities all throughout Oklahoma, and these are people that love what the Lord is doing through you.
Okay, it's actually through the Holy Spirit, and if you people want to get behind a Holy Spirit-filled work, then send your donations in here. We've been sending out finances. We send out to one of our groups, this, what's his name,
Andy Cole
in West Africa. He has a congregation of 55,000 people there, which is one of the Alamo churches, Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, and we send them, we've given them water tanks, huge water tank, and we've given them we make sure they get food, and we've sent everyone is really clothed nice. They were very skinny before, and now they look real healthy. They got nice clean clothes on and clean drinking water to boil their food in and to cook in and to drink. And we have pictures of them on our website standing in line with their water jugs to take this fresh, clear, clean, pure water home to drink and to cook in. Have you got another one?
There's one from Malawi, Africa.
Okay, let me hear it.
He says, "Dear Pastor Lamo, through this letter I would like to say thank you for submitting yourself to God in order to let people know the truth through your preachings and literature."
It's my pleasure. My greatest pleasure. I've never had so much pleasure in my life. Then what?
"After reading through your literature with the titles The Pope's Secrets, Our Actual Innocence Does Not Matter to Rome, and The Messiah Book, including many Bible quotations in them, I started going to church, praying continuously to God, started serving Him, and would like to continue serving Him because now my life has been changed. I've tried to change the lives of other people through your literature, and 4 people who were Roman Catholics have now been converted. I would like you to send me your newsletters, and I, together with my friends, will be your distributors here at the Catholic Secondary School, as well as when we go home on holidays. As of now, we have formed a group, and we have given it your name. Thank you so much for all that you are doing to win souls for Christ. We look forward to your favor and godly reply. May God richly bless you, and we are keeping your ministry in our prayers. Yours faithfully, Andrew from Zomba, Malawi, Africa."
Well, I really praise and thank the Lord for you too, brother. Without you and people like you, there's no possible way that we'd be able to do this very quick work for the Lord in these last days. Now we have a piece of literature that's been in on many papers this week. It'll be in papers on Sunday, this coming Sunday. That'll be Sunday the 10th, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yes, I say. Okay, this one has got a cameo on the top of it. It's got a picture of a woman at her head. It looks like a real, you know, old-fashioned girl. And this woman was old-fashioned. Her name is Bessie Haskell. Okay, and go ahead and start reading it, because this is really good. She was baptized in the Protestant church, and then later she was baptized in the Catholic church, and yet she wasn't saved, and she died. The Lord took her out of her body and showed her hell, and then he showed in hell. She says, "Jesus, I've been baptized in the Protestant church, and I've been baptized in the Catholic church. I never wanted to come here, but now," and he showed himself bleeding on the cross, and he told her, "This is what it's all about, Bessie, is to go and tell others." She says, "I never knew. The others didn't know." And that's the status of the entire, most of the churches in the world today. That's why Satan has deceived people by preaching Roman canon law to them rather than the Bible. Because the Roman Catholics don't know the Bible. They don't know the Lord. Now, there are some people in there, unawares, that probably know the Lord, but they don't know Him in the fullness because they don't teach the Bible. They teach little portions of it. And they teach you to pray to Mary, which God hates, and to different saints, which God hates. And He hates all this thing, but let's go on. And show this lady was a very nice lady, and she went to Catholic church and everything. There's a many beautiful, very cute little old ladies and men that go there, and little children that are led astray by the devil and all these other false religions. You must be born again in the Spirit. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus. You must have the Spirit of God living in you, the Spirit of Christ with His Father by the Holy Spirit living in you, or you can't enter heaven. And there's only one other place to go, and that's the pit of hell. Go ahead and read, Sharon.
"That's what it's all about. While in Chicago, one of our witnessing teams visited a nursing home. We always bring presents to the senior citizens and visit them in nursing homes because we have found most of them never have anyone bring them presents or visit, and they are so appreciative of everything. We are able to witness to them about the Word of God, about salvation, about the goodness of God, about what lies ahead for them if they accept Jesus, and about what lies ahead for them if they won't receive Jesus as their personal Savior. We become kings and priests when born again of the Spirit. Then we actually are the kingdom of heaven, the full body of Christ, with Christ as our head. As kings of the kingdom, we are able to take power and dominion over our enemy, the devil. We believe that one of the provisions of the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven is healing. We love to pray for the elderly and everyone else who is sick, afflicted with infirmities, sicknesses, and diseases.
Now, this is what the Bible means. It says that we become kings and priests. Okay, the priest, that doesn't mean that we become like a priest like the Catholic, because that isn't a priest. You're not supposed to go in and confess to some man that's possibly a child molester or, with little boy altar boys and all that. But that means that in the Old Testament, it tells about the Jews, they had a priest, one priest, and that priest was the only one that was able to go into the Holy of Holies and pray to God. And so we, before we were saved, there's a middle wall of partition between God and ourselves. But when we get saved, we become a priest. We can go up to the Lord and officiate there. We can pray for people. We can pray for those Catholic priests that are can't overcome this homosexual tendency and the pedophile tendencies that they have. And we can pray for people all over the world that have that problem. And we pray through Jesus Christ, not Mary. Mary is just a girl that was an incubator. God used as an incubator to bring forth himself in a human body. And so we are able to officiate as a priest, not to man, but to God, just like the Jewish priest in the Old Testament. We go up there as a priest and say, "Oh, Father, look at all these Muslims. They were raised up by the Catholic Church. They're Catholic-powered Muslims. The Catholic Church brought that organization up. We have books on it, complete documentation on it, where they raised up the Muslims to do the dirty work for the Vatican so that the Vatican will look like Snow White and the vicious little dwarfs. They hide behind the candy store. The candy store is the nice little people that go to the Catholic Church. There's nothing wrong with a lot of them, except they're just misguided. But the hierarchy are the ones that a long time ago rose up the Muslim religion to do the dirty work. And they're actually getting their direction from the Vatican. But no, and a lot of people in public office know that, especially in the White House administration. They know, and they actually serve the Vatican. There's no way that they could become president unless they became Vaticanized, obedient to the Vatican. If they get puffed up, or if they fall away, and they start because people applaud them like they did Kennedy, and they stop listening to the Pope, they kill him. Okay, so let's continue on.
We love to pray for the elderly and everyone else who is sick, afflicted with infirmities, sicknesses, and diseases, because we know that they are already healed. Christ paid an awful price for this gift, and we're not going to allow Satan to make us disbelieve that, quote, with his stripes we are healed, unquote, Isaiah 53:5. Christ provided it for us, and now all we have to do is receive it, accept it. By faith we are saved, and by faith we are healed. As we were walking down the hall, surveying the different rooms...
That means faith in what Jesus said, and what Jesus is actually the Word of God. So if you believe on the complete Word of God, you can be saved. If you doubt it, any part of it, you're lost. Then what?
As we were walking down the hall, surveying the different rooms, checking to see if any of our aged fellow humans were awake so that we could witness to them, a frail voice came from one of the rooms. It was a lady's voice asking us to come in and visit her. She was a sweet little old lady, and her name was Bessie Haskell. She asked us, "Are you men Christians?" We told her, "Yes." Bessie told us that she had had a very supernatural experience with the Lord Jesus. She said she made a promise to him, and that promise was that she would tell everybody what Jesus is all about. She said she thought she knew what Jesus was about, but if you read on, you will see that even after being in a church all her life, she didn't have a clue as to what Jesus is all about. I, Toni Alamo, thought before she went on to be with the Lord, it would be very good to not let her testimony go unheard because of its importance. Here's what Bessie told me. I was born at Rensselaer, Indiana, on a farm along with 9 other children. I was the 3rd from the bottom. I weighed only 2 3/4 pounds when I came into this earth, and I was always very small and sickly. When I finally got big enough to go to church, I joined the Sunday school class my aunt taught. One day my aunt said to me, quote, Bessie, you have never been baptized, and you can never become a member of this church until you come up to the altar and tell the people that you want to join the church and be baptized, unquote. Then she said, quote, you do want to join the church, don't you, unquote. I told her, yes, I do. A few weeks later, we went down to the creek. I was dipped down and brought up out of the water. That made me very happy because now I was part of the church. When I was 17, I went to Chicago to live with my aunt. While in Chicago, I seldom went to church. I had a job taking care of a baby for a family.
I'd like to interject here. She's part of the church, but it was an unsaved church. If you just believe that you're saved by being baptized in water, you're wrong. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with the Spirit. Okay, then what?
The mother of the baby was very ill. The family I worked for were Catholics, and they believed everyone should go to church on Sunday. It had been so long since I had been to a church that I thought I had better join this church. Well, to join that church, I had to be baptized again. So I was. After that, I met my husband, and over a period of several years, we had 2 children. I had a house and children, and everything was beautiful, except that with the children so young, I couldn't go to church again. Then we moved to a different neighborhood. My older sister died, so I took in her 4-year-old daughter to raise. During this time, my father brought me 3 more children. He told me they were starving to death. Their father was a drunkard and had abandoned them, so I took them in. I now had 6 children to feed, and many times I wouldn't have enough food for myself and would go to bed hungry. I found myself getting sicker and sicker. I finally went to the doctor and found out I had yellow jaundice. Word had come that my uncle had had his leg amputated, and they said he wasn't going to live long. He wanted to talk to every one of my mother's children and lead them to Christ. So after all my brothers and sisters had gone to see him, it was finally my turn. He begged me to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I told him I would, but not tonight. He took my hand and said, Bessie, I am going to die, but I want to see you saved before I die. I left that night without accepting Christ. When I got home, I was very restless because this yellow jaundice was getting worse. I was very sick, but I never thought of taking Christ as my Savior. I just got sicker and sicker. When the doctor came, he said, Bessie, you must go to the hospital. I told him that I couldn't until after Uncle George's funeral. I was so sick at the funeral, I thought I would fall over dead. When I went by the casket, it looked to me like he pointed his finger at me and said, Bessie, you're lost. I said, I know, Uncle George, but you're dead now, and I don't know what to do. On my way home from the funeral, I went into convulsions, so I went straight to the hospital in critical condition. They worked on me and got me ready for surgery. I was going in and out of consciousness, and I heard the doctors say that I would never live through the night. There I was. It kept going through my mind, and I'm not saved. I've been baptized 2, but I'm not saved. When I awoke, I said to my doctor, I heard you say out of your own mouth that I was going to die. I want to go home. So they got me an ambulance, took me home, and put me in the dining room where they could get a good hospital bed and a place to work. I would go into these light comas. When you go into a coma, you can hear part of the time if you're not too far under. But finally, you go in and you don't come back at all. And that's what I went into the darkness of night. I don't know how they know that you're still alive. You just hang between life and death. I think it was about the 6th day that I was taken out of my body. My spirit and my body separated, and I saw Bessie Haskell lying on the bed. The spirit took me by the right arm and took me through the corner of the room. Just as quick as we were outside of the house, we sank into the pit of the earth, and we went right into a monstrous cave. Now, when I say a monstrous cave, I mean a monstrous one. It had thousands upon thousands of people there. You don't walk a step. There are no steps, but it's gravity, and the gravity carried me down. The faster we went down, the more I began howling. Oh, God, I never wanted to come to this place. Since I can remember, I always said I want to go to heaven when I die. How did I get here? Why am I in this awful place? He only took me about halfway. Then he let me stop and look. And in front of me on my left side was a lake of fire, a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, and it was a big one. It wasn't a little lake. It looked like Lake Michigan, and the people were going over. They'd just gone over, and you'd hear those awful screams. Then I kept looking for where they were going to put me, and I told the Lord, Lord, from the time I was a child, I used to always say that I want to go to heaven when I die. Father God, if anybody ever worked themselves to death, it's been me. I've got those four children and two of my own and hardly enough food to feed them, and I go without food over and over so that I can say I did my best to raise these children. I took them, Father, to church when I was able, and Father, I couldn't have done more than what I have done. I joined two different churches, and I got baptized two different times. Here I am in this place that I never wanted to come to, and how on earth can I ever get out? Then the Lord let me look up and see the heavens, and oh, what a beauty! But I said, how do I get there? Jesus said, there is a great gulf fixed, and no one will ever pass except those who have been born again by the Spirit of God and washed in His blood. I said, but it's too late, it's too late. Oh, God, please don't leave me in this awful place. Show me, Lord, what I can do. See, Father, you know I tried, and now here I am. He showed me one big cross, and Jesus was carrying it up Golgotha's hill. Down it went into the ground, and they nailed him to it. They also had the other two, and they were barely alive, but it was him I saw. When they got his hands nailed and his side pierced, and the blood coming out, he looked up and he looked right in my eyes and he said, Bessie, this is what it is all about. This is what I died for. He looked at me with such pity and I cried, Oh God, nobody ever told me. Father, nobody ever told me. I went from the time as a little child, Father, and nobody seemed to care. Did they know to tell me and fail to do so? And he said, Oh yes, but many miss it. I said, I have a husband, and I've got two little children at home. Father God, who will raise these children? Who will take care of those precious little souls? Father, let me go back. Let me go back, dear Father. I'll be a witness for you as long as I live. I raise my right hand. You see this hand? It's my oath and my promise to witness to every soul. I'll serve you, Father. I'll worship you, Lord. I'll raise these children in the fear of the Lord. My poor husband don't know it. Very few people know it, but Uncle George knew it. But we don't any of us know it. My father down on the farm don't know it. My mother, dear God, don't know it. But, oh God, I know it now. I tell you, my heart was full. My joy had begun. I knew the way to heaven, and I was going to tell it to doctors and grocers and insurance men and different ones that came to my door, every soul that I could. Father, I'll testify of your love and your grace. He just said to me, I'll take you back by your promise, Bessie. I'll take you back. And he took me again, just like he did the first time, with that right arm, and he touched me in back of my elbows, and he brought me back the same way he brought me down. I saw myself come through my own dining room, and I seen about 8 or 10 people. My sister Ida was sitting at the head of the bed, and there laid that cold body. It was as cold as ice, but my spirit just crawled back in. I remember I started at my feet, and I just came all the way up. They said, You're so cold, you're so cold, you're so cold. I said, Yes, but I won't be for long, because I've got a heart that is warm. I've been with Jesus. They said, Where have you been? I said, In the pits of hell. but I'll never go back. I found the Christ. I found God. I found Uncle George's God, and I'm going to serve him. And that's exactly what I did. For the next 6 nights, I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking of the vision and what I saw. And I kept thinking, I'll go to the people. They don't know. I'd look at another, and they didn't know. I'd look at another, and they didn't know. They didn't know. I wondered, how am I going to get this to the people so they will know that God has a place prepared for his own? I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, I went back and told my family, and they didn't want to hear it. When I tell a lot of people today, they don't want to hear it. They don't understand because it's not preached. You must be born again. And friend, I'm going to tell you, there is no other way under heaven that you can get to heaven. Unless you confess you are a sinner and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your sacrifice for sin. And you can do that right now. You have no promise that you will live 5 minutes from now. So please say this prayer so that you can be born again right now.
Okay, and that prayer is the prayer. She may have said another one similar to it, but this is the one that we always ask people to do, and we've seen hundreds of thousands of people saved from it. And it's, say this before God right now. Tell him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I have called upon you, Lord. And I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord and give him all the glory for what he's done for you now. And just keep praising and thanking him, and make sure you read the Bible now. And the more you read the Bible, like Jesus said, the words in his word is spirit and it's life. And the more you read those words, which are Christ, the more spirit and the more power of God that you'll have in you. You'll get no power or anything like that from Roman canon law or any other book that you read. So read the Word of God and have power and dominion over everything. The Lord wants us to be the way even stronger than the way that he created Adam and Eve. And they had all the power of God. But now through Christ, who was the victorious one over sin, Satan, death, hell, the grave, all the lusts in the world will go away if you just keep your mind on the Lord, stayed upon him. And you can do that by just reading the Word and make sure it's the King James Version of the Bible, because they keep coming up with, every year that goes by, they come up with these new versions that takes away the most important parts of the Word of God. And you can write me now for a copy of this program, 267. And you can also ask for a Messiah book and literature. And even these radio tapes, you may have missed a lot of them. And right now, Sharon will give you 4 different ways that you can receive all these things. It's postage and handling is free of charge. I received the gospel free of charge, and I never want to charge any money for it. But you could, we'd love to have you donate, because the money that comes in, we put into the gospel literature being printed in the newspapers, and we're on radio all over the world. Okay, so Sharon, tell them how they can receive copies of all these things.
go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Yes, now no one can carry the cross for you. Each one of us has to pick up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one has to deny themselves. You have to walk that lonesome valley all by yourself, and there's no one going to stand before the judgment bar of God or the mercy seat of Christ but you. We're going to be there as naked as we were when we came into this earth. And so recall this. I love the way that this vague springman sings, and he sings a song that's very apropos for this moment. It's called Jesus Walked That Lonesome Valley.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it for himself. I must go and stand my trial. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself. I got to stand it by myself. By myself.
Praise the Lord. You know, the best thing we can all do, all the time, actually, the Bible tells us that Jesus said to pray always, always pray. And so let's steal away with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And Peg, sing it for us, will you?
Oh,
I trust that you received something so spiritual today that your soul is saved. Be sure to tune in. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another dose of the Spirit of the Living God that is able to save your soul. The blood of Jesus will take away every sin from the past, and the Lord is able to keep you walking upright in Him to the end. Thank you for listening. God bless.